us. And mama said that there was only one thing she could get us. Well, God must have been with us, cause it is heavenly joy. We wake up Christmas morning to every toy. Then there's the birth of my boy here to inherit that rhythm. And when I see it, then I might ask myself, what more could I give him? And I would love to, but I can't spend every moment with him. That's those big old eyes that encourage me to keep on living. Hey! Finding my wife, and all I can do is reminisce, cause there is no rewind in my life. But the future's so bright, it's almost blind in my sight.
Yo, 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 this is your boy, Reckless, and I'm in the building. How y'all feeling out there? That was Music Soul Child and his joint, Moment in Life, featuring Kindred, The Family Soul, and CeeLo Green. Now, the reason why I chose that song is because of the beauty and simplicity in that song and how it just speaks to, you know, this moment in life. Not necessarily what's going on in the world, but your moment in life. The things that are happening to you, the things that you need to love and appreciate, the things that you need to focus on, the things right in front of you. I felt like that was very appropriate, especially for this particular episode. Without really, like, further ado, I'm just gonna get into it. But, yeah, let's just get into this whole thing. It's a little deep, but we're gonna try to make it fun, make it lighthearted, but we're gonna be talking about some real stuff, and hopefully you all will feel the impact, the weight of this conversation that I'm gonna have with my guest today. Okay, so after some technical difficulties, anywho, ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you MC. Known you for like almost 10 plus years. So how are you?
I am doing pretty okay with everything I'm going through. Pretty good.
Of course.
Last time I spoke with you, even saw you, I think is when I used to dance and I was like in my early 20s, probably like 20 or 21 or something like that. 31 now.
Damn.
So it's been like a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, yeah, actually, that sounds about right. Because I just saw, or I didn't just see it, but you posted a video of you freestyling, or you were at a battle. Yeah, I remember that battle too. That's crazy.
So it was crazy. I miss those days. Those were the days when like I didn't have so many responsibilities.
No,
All I did every day was just dance.
yeah, because I had the same thing, but then I still had a lot of responsibilities, but it was still within that realm, you know, like I was still teaching at the college and at all the high schools, and then I was teaching, or I was dancing with like several other teams. Like that long ago, I think I had just started Superheroes and I was working
Yeah,
with other
I think
crews.
that was around the time like how I think I initially met you, if it wasn't for, I don't know if it was EJ or I met you first before EJ, but I remember I went to CRC and then I saw your crew and then a class you were teaching,
Yeah.
and then I ended up being on your team in that class. I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my third year teaching there. Yeah, at the college.
Yeah.
So that was funny. That's fun.
Yeah, you had honestly, I remember the first time I met you, the impression that I got was you were a very non-judgmental person. Like you had a very mellow energy about you. Like it made me not feel uncomfortable around you. Like I felt more comfortable, even though at that time I wasn't a dancer. So I just remember that. That was one thing that I remember. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Okay, I feel comfortable with dancing. Like, I think I could do this. And yeah, that the those are the days with the dance. I remember that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I was not supposed to go and teach. Like that's the funny thing that so when people come into the hip hop class, they just assume like, okay, I was there like to teach when in reality I just needed the credit. Like the very first year before hip hop started, it was just dance composition and there was this old lady teaching and
Are you talking
then
about Zamuda? Is her name is
no, not
Zamuda?
Zamuda, it was
Okay.
before her. There was just
Oh.
some lady there, I forgot her name, but she was really cool. And then she told me, you need to stop like pretending like you don't know what you're doing. And I was like, well, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. And that's when she helped me and my brother write up like fundamentals and stuff, like what we'd want in a dance class or for hip hop. And then all of a sudden, she takes that and rewrites it into like a syllabus and then presents it to the dean along with the ideas going forward. 'Cause she retired and then we had to go to the dean afterwards and present it and say like this is what we want to do or this would be cool and then all of a sudden hip hop and then we got Zamuda and she had no idea what she was doing in the hip hop class none and I just walked up to her my brother and I was like hey we've been doing this a long time and we actually helped write that so like we're here to help if you need anything and she was like please and after that she asked us to well she asked me because my brother didn't care to join her modern class and then that's how that's where I was getting my credit and then I just ended up staying and teaching and it just evolved and it was just so weird because that was not the trajectory that I was going on not at all
But to get through like a pretty cool experience, I bet. Because that's pretty awesome to be able to teach a college class, just, given that opportunity randomly like that. I feel like it's something that you probably would have to work towards to be able to do that.
No, for
So,
real. Like, coming to find out that the only reason why we couldn't actually put our names on paper was my brother and I don't have degrees in dance. And that's the only thing that would allow us to actually teach and get paid. But if we were signed up, you know, in the class, then that's a different story. And we ended up like structuring the classes out of like all the things that we've done. That's how the competition started. That's how the you know, the showcase started and was going
I
in that
remember the
format.
showcases. Oh my gosh, yeah.
The showcases were like so fun.
They
So much fun.
were fun. Oh my God. I remember I think that was the first time when we had the assignments to create choreography.
Yeah.
And that was my first time trying to understand how to create a transition. Yeah. And I remember I was struggling so bad, and I was like, this is going to come out so horrible. But then like when me and my crew, the people that was on my team, when we worked at it, it ended up just being fun. And I just remember like meeting a lot of great people through dance, and then us having like the get togethers and little like kickbacks after practice. Like, those were sweet days. Those were fun.
Yeah. And it's weird because I tried really hard not to go to any of those kickbacks. Like,
really,
I really didn't want to go. Not because like I felt like I was like better or anything. It was just more like, I don't think I should go and hang out with you guys, because I'm,
you're just trying to stay professional.
Yeah, I didn't want to cross that line. And also, I was like a homebody, so I mostly tried to stay home. It was like my mom and my brother like, no, get the hell out the house. And yeah, but it was cool because like you said, we met a lot of great people.
So. It's pretty, what really hit me about that is like, so since I like started dancing like in my early 20s, and then I think I stopped probably like 27 or 28. Mm-hmm. Like after everything that like I'd gone through, I don't know if you want to like, if there's like a specific way to start, but with everything that I'd gone through, it was crazy because like it brought to my attention like how much people I was lucky enough to meet when I saw all the support I got from people. And that's just like going towards like with me finding out with the stage 4 kidney disease of last year. And it was just crazy because when I found that out and I put it out there, like, first of all, when I first put it out there, I was honestly kind of nervous, like, or hold on, I should probably backtrack. I'm like jumping too into it.
Yeah. Okay. So. No, you're fine. So like, let's start from, when you, first found out that you had, diabetes.
Oh yeah. Well, I was 13. I was 13 years old. And then, yeah, I just remember like, my mom found me and she said I was like shaking, like almost like having a seizure, I guess. And then I just remember I was like spacing out a lot. And I remember she took me to the ER and then they're weighing me. And then, you know how it's like protocol for the nurses to ask you like all those random questions where it's like, well, why are you asking me that?
Yeah.
Well, one of the questions were like, oh, they're like, don't take this the wrong way, but like, do you ever like throw up after you eat? Like they said in a more professional way, but I was just like, no, I love food. And I was just like, but I just can't eat because it hurts when I eat for some reason. Like, because during that time I didn't know I was diabetic. And what happens is if you don't know that you're diabetic, your body goes into the state where it tries to survive. And in my case, I was a diabetic type 1, meaning my pancreas failed. So when that happens, your pancreas doesn't produce insulin. And so whenever you eat anything, you're not getting the nutrition from the food that you eat or drink. So it's like your body's not getting any fuel because your pancreas isn't working. So it's not helping take in the nutrition correctly. So what happens is when your body goes through that state of your pancreas failing and you becoming a diabetic type 1, it needs energy. So what it resorts to is eating the fat in your body for energy to transfer that into some sort of energy. And so what happened was that caused me to weigh only 60 pounds. And then, yeah.
At 13?
And then at 13, yeah. And I remember too, and like, I'm Filipino and like some Asian parents are very like, they're not really into like medical stuff. Like they're just like kind of like iffy about that. And so my mom at one point was just like, she was kind of like concerned, but she was just kind of like she thought it was just me. Like I wasn't eating, like I was choosing to not to eat. And I was always just confused because I was like, what are you guys talking about? Like, I didn't think anything of it until I started not feeling good. And I was in the office and then they were like, yeah, you weigh 60 pounds. And then I was like, oh, is that why I don't feel good? And I was like on the verge of fainting. And next thing you know, I just remember just like blacked out. And then I remember feeling like a shock And I remember like spacing out and seeing my mom crying. And then I realized that they were trying to revive me because I felt my body like jolting kind of, and everything was going mute. Like I could see everything, but everything was just straight silence. Like I could see them talking and rushing. And I just remember like gazing around, and I was just like, how come I can't hear anything? And then like blacking out, and then waking up to a shock, and then blacking out, and then waking up to shock, and then blacking out. And then when I initially finally woke up, it was like the next day, and they were like, yeah, like we almost lost you. Your blood sugar was very high, and it turns out you're a type 1 diabetic, and you're going into acidosis. And that's when your blood sugar is super, super high, and your bloodstream develops acid, and it becomes poisonous to the body. So it causes like pain in the chest. And that was the day I found out I was diabetic type 1. It's very intense, but yeah, like at 13. And then ever since then, I was just like, it was just a life changing experience after that. So it was just never the same after that. Damn. And then, yeah, so I kind of just had to adapt to that. Mm-hmm.
Did you, when you say adapt, did you have to go through like a whole diet change, like really pay attention to what you're eating or not eating, things of that nature?
Yes. In general, anytime like a person becomes a diabetic, what happens in the very few days that you find out, they set you up with a dietitian or a nutritionist. Mm-hmm. And depending on what type you are, because there's type 1 and type 2, I'm type 1. And with type 1, you depend on insulin. Type 2, you don't need insulin. But the way that works is you're just more focused on what you eat and exercise. With type 1, since you have no insulin, you have to take shots. And that's a little bit difficult because in my case, that means I would have to count carbs and things that have sugar and then calculate that amount of carbs into what level my blood sugar is, because that would tell you how many units of insulin to take. So for example, if my blood sugar was like 135 to 160, then the sliding scale with that for that would be like take 2 or 3 extra units of insulin. And then on top of that, the amount of units of insulin for carbohydrates. So it was difficult. I had a phase where I was kind of doing okay. Mm-hmm. And then since I was a kid, like, honestly, I'm such a huge foodie. And being Filipino, living in a house where we love food and everything is just all about flavor. Like, man, that's probably why I have the struggles now. But it was definitely hard to count everything and be very strict about what to eat and how much to eat, especially with proportions, because knowing me, when I like something, I go overboard when I eat it. I eat like there's no tomorrow.
Oh, no, for sure. Like, if you put a big bucket of chicken, I'm going to eat it. Damn, that sounded so racist towards my own people. But fuck it, we love chicken. And, like, I totally feel you on that. And it's kind of strange because when my mom found out that she had diabetes, it was, like, it was strange because she's always been, like, you know, conscious of what she's eating. But during COVID, just like everybody else, like high stress, you know, not being as active, not leaving the house, it was just more of like, it was a shock to see her like all of a sudden, hey, you're not looking well. And then going to the hospital and just like in and out, and she's not really noticing what's going on. She's sick and can't keep anything down. And then they tell her, and I was just like, okay. I was just lucky that my grandmother, because I wasn't around, but my grandmother was on the way to go see her to take her to the hospital because she said she hadn't been feeling well. And getting in the car, it was just like, out. If my grandma wasn't there, and luckily she's been a nurse all her life, it was just like, shit. You know, I'm very grateful for that. And that, but back to you, it's just like, now you have this thing, you're going into your teenage years, or no, you're going into, yeah, you're going into high school and trying to adapt there. Mm-hmm. Was that period difficult, or was going into your 20s more difficult?
Honestly, I think dealing with diabetes at a young age and then going into high school, just in general, is always hard.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like a teenager in high school who is very well disciplined, then I'm sure it's much easier. But I think just being a teenager at the time and being a diabetic is very difficult, because you have to factor in like the people you're around with, like look how they're eating, and then, you know, like the energy of the atmosphere, like everyone's having a good time, you're young, and it's like you want to feel like you're normal, like you want to be like, oh, I want to eat that and not worry about it, and like,
yeah,
you know, so it builds that annoying pressure that you don't want, but you can't like argue with, because it's like you can't really change like what you're around, so to say. Like it's like you can't make other people feel guilty about like what you're going through. So it's like you kind of just got to accept your own reality.
Yeah.
But that's what made it hard for me as a high school student, is because when I would be around other people and I'd see them like enjoy all these types of food and just have all this free will, in the back of my mind, I'd always be like, man, like, I want to do that too. And I think the stubbornness got to me, and I was just like, I could just eat it. It's fine. Like,
yeah. But
yeah, that wasn't always the best thing.
I feel that. I mean, when you mentioned EJ earlier, just thinking about his situation, because he had celiac disease.
Yeah, yeah.
And seeing him just like wanting to eat like with us, you know, and knowing like, okay, I can't eat that because I'm gonna get sick. And I didn't realize how bad it was for him until I actually watched him eat like a burger. And I think we went to McDonald's, and he was just like, fuck it, I'm just hungry. And he'd been drinking, and then all of a sudden just he was laid out paler than usual, and he was just like, I'm sick. And I was like, fuck. It was like one of the craziest things I had ever seen. And I felt bad for him, not because he was sick in that moment, but it was just more of like, you know, you have to navigate life differently. And then seeing his actual like food habits, you know, which was weird. And I'm going to call him out on this. It was weird. Like he would take a potato and then put some water on a napkin and then put it in the microwave for like a few minutes. And
sweet potato.
It.
Yeah. 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 He introduced me to that.
I was like, what is going on? I've never seen anybody eat a potato like an apple. And he was just like, it's good. And I'm like, you don't want any butter or salt? And he was like, nah. You know, and it was just so strange. Or him making homemade tortillas. And it was just so like, I was like, man.
It was very, very clean eating. And you know what's so ironic about that chapter in my life? I remember during that time, he was really, really, I think it's just because during that chapter of my life, I was so young.
Yeah.
So I, of course, wasn't looking at health the way that I do now.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was looking at it the way that I do now, I know during that chapter, I would have been like very freaking appreciative of how supportive he was. Because I remember during that chapter, it used to get on my nerves, because I used to be like, you know, like, I don't want to do that, you know, just being stubborn. But he was speaking the truth, because he was coming from a person that understands health issues and understands how it feels like to be affected by food. And with him, it was more serious, because if he was to eat the wrong thing, he could physically feel it. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm just gonna go bathroom, okay, I'm fine. It was like he was out for like a couple days, and he would always be like, and now looking back at it, I'm like, okay, now it makes sense why he would always get on me and like make me feel like crap extremely for eating something, because it's like that's how he saw food. And in a way, it's kind of like he saw realistically what could happen for me in the future, which is now happening, if I wasn't going to like look at food in that perspective. But I guess the reason why it was like that for me versus him is because with my health issues that I deal with, especially during that time, since I was just a diabetic type 1, I kept looking at it more as of like, oh, it's just what I eat. Like, I could get away with eating this, like, because I didn't physically feel the bad side effects of it as like him.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, I should have really thought about like, okay, yeah, I may not feel like it right now, but if I continue to keep eating like this in the long run, I'll suffer for that, which is what happened.
Yeah.
But like, It's just interesting because it's like I always look back at that now and I'm like, damn, I was a brat. Like I should have been like, you're right. I'm sorry, but I was like what, 20, 2019, and I was just like, no, I'm gonna eat it. I'm hungry. I'm sleepy. Fuck you. Oh, sorry, can you cuss? Sorry.
No, go ahead. I'll go back.
But yeah, no, I was a freaking brat. If I wanted like freaking chicken or like a freaking fudge cake, I'd be like, I'm gonna eat that. I'm hungry. I'll take insulin. It's fine. But nope, it's not how it works sometimes.
No, I'll tell you. So, fast forward past that. When did you find out that things weren't okay?
It was I actually have the video. It was September 2021, just as of last year. And how it started happening was it was my vision. I was going to school for forensic psychology, and I remember at that point too. It's so ironic how this happens in life. I was feeling really great about myself because I finally got my own place. I finally felt like I found something that was my purpose in life, and I was doing really great in school. And then I remember one day, like my left eye, my vision just started getting super blurry. And it got to the point where, like, I didn't feel comfortable walking and going on walks or just going anywhere outside because I couldn't see people's faces anymore. And that would scare me because I would have this like whole comfortability thing where, like, when I go out, especially because I'm so petite, like, and tiny, I feel like I gotta be extra aware of like my surroundings, especially when I'm by myself. So like every time when I walk around, I'm very observant, and like when I walk, I look at people's faces. Like I let it be known I'm not just like some naive person walking around. But then when that happened, it scared me because I would be walking down the block, like to the park, and when I would glance at a person's face, it was just blurry, like. It was creepy. Like I couldn't see their face, and I would have to wait until they got really, really close to me for me to finally see their face. And then I was just thinking, like, okay, I think it's time I need to go to the doctors and check this out. Because the reason why I didn't go to the doctors a lot is because I was with Kaiser, and I had a lot of bad experiences with Kaiser, and that always discouraged me in getting the help that I needed because I felt like no one would ever listen to me. So I was just like, forget this. Like, I'm not going to deal with this. So I went. And then when I went to go get my eyes checked, it was crazy because they're saying, like, oh, you came in just in time. They're like, because are you where you have high blood pressure? And I was just like, what? You could tell that from my eyes? And they're like, yeah. They're like, because there's veins in your eyes and it's affected by your diabetes. And they could see by my A1C that it was out of control. And they're like, and when it's affected like this, it's affected by high blood pressure. And I was just like, oh crap. And they're like, but the good news is you came just in time because we could correct it. They're like, if you were to wait like a month or 2 months, we would have not been able to get your vision back. And so like I now have to permanently do laser eye treatment. But my vision got a whole lot better. Like it is not blurry anymore. But I am very lucky I decided to go when I did, because if I didn't, I think I would have been blind on my left eye by now. And then that's when everything started unfolding. Yeah. And then so they're like, you need to go get checked in the doctors. So I switched to Blue Shield. Nurses and doctors are amazing over there, by the way.
Oh,
And
man.
then, yeah, they checked me up, and then they were just like, you know, your blood pressure is like stroke level. And I was like, no. They're like, how do you feel? I was like, I feel normal. And then they're like, okay, that's how you know you've been used to having high blood pressure. This isn't good. They're like, you could get a stroke. They're like, do you get migraines? I was like, yeah, I've been getting migraines a lot.
I've been
Like,
getting migraines a lot.
I've been getting migraines a whole lot. Like, I thought it's just stress. I was like, sometimes I get anxiety attacks. They're like, yeah, no, ma'am, it's because your blood pressure is like stroke level. Like, it's not normal. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Damn. Wow. So you were really like not good, like at all.
Not good at all. And like the nurses, like they're so sweet because it's like they put in the most work. Like, they call me on my days off to check on me because they know about everything I'm going through.
Yeah.
And I think it was just like how I first met them. It's like there was just that, like, that first experience meeting them. And then, like, when they found out what I've been going through, and they're just like, Kaiser didn't catch us. And I was just like, no, they told me that I was just like thinking of like making stuff up or something. And then they're like, they should have caught this. Like, they were mad at Kaiser because they were like, if they saw you had high blood pressure, they're like, they could have given you medicine a long time ago and your eyes would have not have gotten affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were really mad about that. And then they told me to do blood work. And then that's when it showed up that my kidneys were really, really bad. And then they're just like, yeah, we're sorry to say, but you have stage 4 kidney disease. And they're like, moving forward, you might have to do dialysis, or if you get lucky, a kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like where I'm at now. And it's just, it's crazy. Like, as you get older, you always want to make sure you do your doctor checkups. Like, it's going to be expensive, but it's worth it. Cause ever since I did it, I found out like so much stuff that's been going on with me that like, it makes sense. But now I feel a lot better. I mean, given the fact that it's sad I found out what's wrong with me, but at the same time, it's like I'm able to somewhat balance that out to where I don't feel as horrible. Yeah. So, yeah.
So right now, you're also at the stage of like looking for a kidney.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did they let you know, like, this is going to happen? Not like, oh, this might happen. Like, no, this is going to happen. This needs to happen.
By doing blood lab work. So they always look at like the levels of how your, it's called the GFR.
Yeah.
And that's like the term they use to see how your kidneys are functioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's to determine how well your kidneys are helping. What is it? It's kind of like cleansing out the blood flow, because your kidney is the one that helps cleanse out like the urine and all that stuff and the bloodstream, and to get all the toxic stuff out of your body.
Yeah.
And so like right now, my GFR went even lower and it's a 11. So now I'm at that stage where it's definite. If I cannot get a donor, then I'll have to be in dialysis. So that's where I'm at right now. And I'm actually taking a dialysis class tomorrow to see like what my options are, just for like a backup plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did you feel when you found out?
Honestly, like a lot of mixed emotions. Like, realistically, I felt like I couldn't be upset, because the first thing I thought about was, I'm stubborn as hell. Like, look at what I did when I was young. All I did was my ass. All I ate was freaking hot Cheetos.
No word.
I did, you know, like, and I did drink like alcohol as if I was like healthy, because I was like younger, you know. And in my mind, I'm thinking like, oh, I don't drink every weekend, so it's fine. But no, that's not the case. That's like, realistically, it's like when you have a health issue, you have to be real with yourself. Like, is this really worth it?
Yeah.
Not. And like with my perspective, I kept thinking like, it's okay, because I don't do it a lot. But I failed to realize the truth that through time it'll add up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what made me like really not mad about it too is because I'm just too much of a realistic person, where I felt like I couldn't really be mad, because I knew the reality of it was like, I would stress a lot, and stress plays a lot in a diabetic's health. Like, stress brings up a person's blood sugar really bad.
Yeah.
So I knew realistically, I was like, okay, it was my eating habits and my stress. So honestly, that's my fault for why I'm in this situation. So that's the first thing I thought. And then the second thing I thought was like, I can't waste my time being mad every day, because it's not going to help me. And I'm like, so the only thing I could really do is just like accept it. But I do have my days where like I'm fine and I'm like, okay, whatever, it is what it is, I just got to do what I do to be okay. And then I have some days where it's like I'm breaking down and crying, because it's like, it's one of those feelings where it's like, fuck, if I didn't do this, I could have caught in a break for once and like be able to focus on things that I want to be successful in rather than focus on trying to survive.
Yeah.
And still be alive, you know? Like, it's like, damn, it's just like, but I don't know, just, I mean, I guess that's how life is sometimes, like, shit just happens, can't be mad at it, just gotta deal with it.
Exactly. I mean, life, but at the same time, life doesn't necessarily happen to you. It's just, you know, some bumps along the way to get you to where you need to be or where you need to go, and there's always lessons in there. But this, it kind of, you know, sucks. Like, mm-hmm. It sucks, to be completely honest. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. I mean, like, me being just me, who I am, I go on my Instagram and I'm just chilling. I don't really post anything, not as much as I should, not as much as I'm going to, but, and then all of a sudden I see you and I was like, hey, I wonder what she's been up to. And then that's the first thing I see. And I was like, holy shit.
I'm like, surprise.
Yeah. I was like, wow. That's wild. And seeing your message and just like, you know, you reaching out to people, that must have been very like scary for you, like very vulnerable. How vulnerable?
Oh yes.
Like what made you say, okay, I'm gonna do this, like I'm gonna reach out?
It was just the fact knowing that it, honestly, to be perfectly honest, it was just the fact knowing that if I didn't speak out about it or do anything about it and just kind of sit in it and be mad about it, that meant that I would be cutting my chances of having a longer life.
Yeah.
Like I felt like if I was not saying anything just because I didn't want to be vulnerable, then that meant I would be fine with settling for 4, maybe 5 or 6 years to wait for a donor. And then I thought, realistically, if I waited that long, like how well could my kidneys really hold up? And then I started to think like one thing after the other, and I was like, if I waited that long and my kidneys started failing sooner than the time frame that they gave me, which is actually happening now, then that just resorts to me getting even more sick and then more organs getting damaged.
Yeah.
So I had to just kind of like deal with it and put myself out there, and I had to get over my pride, because one thing that was kind of holding me back was I was thinking like, I don't want this to make this what I'm about, like, because I've always been a person where like when I go through stuff, I'm very prideful and going through things on my own and forcing myself to get through it, like,
yeah.
I've just been like that. And so to finally be in a chapter in my life where I have to adapt and be okay with saying, hey, I'm vulnerable, I need help.
Yeah.
That's very freaking new to me. Like, that's, I don't like that. I still don't really like it. Like, I'm still like, knowing me, like I'm back on mind, I'm like, what if I just eat really healthy and then a lot of water and then just exercise and then keep a positive mentality, then maybe I could trick my body into being better. But then I'm like, no, that's not gonna happen. Like I'm at a place in my life where I need to be okay with being vulnerable and asking for help. And when I put that video out, going back to what I said in the beginning, that's when I realized like, damn, I'm really blessed for what I went through in life, but from having fun experiences with meeting new people through my passion, which was dance. And I was just like, and then being here to put this side of me out there when it's like not really anyone's business. Like, I'm pretty sure like some people care, but to be realistic, there's some people that just watch and just like, oh, whatever, you know? And that's the part that scares me, because I'm like, I'm showing a vulnerable side of myself. Realistically, a lot of people probably don't really care, but it's like, I just got to deal with it. Like, I got to get help some way, somehow. And when I got the feedback and seeing so many people repost it and comment. Like, it reminded me, like, oh crap, I guess I do know more people than I thought I did.
Man, how was the outpour? What were the reactions that you got when you put that video out?
A lot of them were just saying, like, you know, prayers and keep your head up and, you know, things like that, that were very sweet. And then I got a lot of, I thought this was very sweet, but like pretty funny. It kind of lifted my day because I thought it was kind of cute, but it would make me laugh when people would be like, I want to see if I could donate my kidney. But then, like, realistically, these people are people that drink every single weekend. I'm like, dude, I really appreciate that. But realistically, I think you might need your kidney more than me if you drink a lot. Like, you're going to be in my situation afterwards. Like, no.
No, yeah. So. That was the funny thing that I thought about. I was like, I wonder how many, like, you know, binge drinkers or partiers, they're gonna reach out and be like, yo man, I'm gonna stop drinking today just so I can go and see if I can donate, like, I felt that, and it was just funny because me thinking about that, and then when I wrote you and I was like, yo, I'm a blood type match, I'm gonna go see if, you know, see what's up, just let me know. And like, I was talking to some people about it, and they were like, that sounds like you. That sounds like something you would do. Are you sure about that? I'm like, dude, how often do I drink? Yeah, you're right. How often do I do drugs? Never. Like, you know, it was just more of like, okay, you possibly can. And then going to see the doctor, and I already told you, like getting the blood work and everything, and they were like, yeah, you're pretty healthy for someone your age. You don't drink or nothing? I'm like, no. You don't smoke weed? No. And the lady just looked at me. Do you smoke weed? And I was like, yo, that's rude. Just because I'm black and I have locks and I live in California, like.
No, I'm telling you, when I had dreadlocks, I would all the time, I would either be asked if I want to smoke or if I sell.
Yeah.
I'm like, why?
Like every day, I can't go anywhere. Like, I went to the store and this dude was like, hey yo, you got some on you? And I'm like, no. The fuck? And somebody else, like, directly after him was like, hey, you want to buy some weed? I'm like, what the no, like, you don't smoke? Oh, that's weird, bro, that's weird. And I'm like, what,
like, why? Because of my hair? Like,
yeah. And people tell me that I always look sleepy, and I'm like, well, you know, that's what work does to you. Like, I don't know. What?
Yeah, that's what you just say. That just means I work hard. Okay, that's yeah, all that means.
I don't need weed in my life. Well, no, I don't. I don't smoke. I don't need it. I don't smoke. But it's just, that's just random. And it just felt weird. But I have been letting you know about everything that I've been going through. So people out there listening, I wouldn't be saying, you know, reach out, you know, see what you can do, talk to your peoples, if I wasn't personally doing it myself. And I even have a friend who went and got tested too, because me and him also have the same blood type. So it was just like, he was like, yeah, I'll do it. And he texted me as soon as he did. He was like, yeah, I'll keep you updated. I was like, cool. So it's,
dude, no, I can't, dude. I like, honestly, even if this doesn't work out, it's just the fact that, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, either, go ahead.
But it's just the fact that, honestly, like, dude, we haven't hung out or kicked it since I was like fucking 20, 19, you know, I'm 31 now.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, I was trying to like factor it in. I was like, well, I could see why he would do that, because it's like, he's very healthy and like, you know, he just has a good heart, but like, realistically, like, that's not something that any person would just be like, oh hey, let me donate, you know. But that's why I keep telling you, like, each time, every message, you're probably getting annoyed. You're probably like, damn it, MC, you said thank you the first time, you gotta say thank you again.
Yeah,
but like, no, but I really freaking appreciate that you honestly, like, took the time to be like, yeah, I'll go see if if you're a possible match to be able to do that, because it's just the fact that you decided to do that. You know, a lot of people, they'll think about it and they just skip it, but you actually have that intention of like wanting to do that. That's why I always tell you, like, you know, even if it doesn't work out, like, just to get that, not to sound like a hippie, but just to get that type of like energy from you when I'm in this hard chapter in my life, something as small as that gives me a lot of hope and feeling like not to be so down about it. Like, it makes me feel like if someone like you could be like that, then I'm pretty sure there's other people somewhere out there that has the same intention as you that really want to help. And so it's like, that's why I keep saying thank you, because realistically, there's not a lot of people that are doing what you're doing. You know, they come and go, where they say, hey, they check up on me, how are you doing? You know, but at the same time, they're not really doing more than that. So it just leads me back to trying to figure out what it is I need to do to help me like survive all this. So that's why, again, like, I really thank you from the bottom of my heart, because this isn't something normal that anyone could just do. Just like wake up one day, like, oh, I'm gonna go be a doctor. Yeah. I'm gonna do this.
Well, it's kind of weird, because it started like that idea, that mentality. It actually started, I think I was 20, and I was doing the, you know, the blood drives and that would come to campus or whatever. I just went and I just started donating, and the lady was like, why are you donating? And I was like, I don't know, seems like the right thing to do. And she laughed at me and was like, that has to be the most like honest thing I've ever heard in my life. And she said, here, look into this. And then it was called Be the Match. Mm-hmm. And it was for like, you know, I forgot exactly what it was, but I think it was for bone marrow and plasma, and or I believe it was bone marrow. And I looked into it. I saw the numbers. I saw like who could it help, and all that stuff. And I was like, wow, okay, that actually sounds cool. And then I looked more into donating not only just blood but plasma. And then I got a little card, and then would get all the cookies and shit. But it was it was just more of like, you know, this felt good. This felt right. This is something that, you know, even though it was just blood, it was like, you know, it could potentially help more people, or it can, you know, save a life. You know, just that little bit can help. And then thinking about, you know, donating like a body part, I really thought about it and was like, yeah, I could do that. I would do it for, you know, certain people. You know, I would do it for these reasons rather than just doing it just to say fuck it, you know. Like, don't get me wrong, I love my life, and I've got to see and do so many things that I'm really like proud of. And I also got to do things where I'm like, ah, that sucked. But, you know, it was the lessons, it was the journey, and all those things were really fun. And like thinking about it as it pertains to you, it was like, yo, she hasn't been able to do this, this, and this, you know? And to be able to hear, you know, time is short, and the things that she's thinking about of where she wants to go, what she wants to do, how is she going to do that? But she can't think about all those things because she has to think about this one thing. And I'm like, if I can help, I will. Why not? Because she needs the opportunity to go see those things, to go do those things, you know? And that's what I was thinking about. And people looked at me like I was like ridiculous, but then it came to, okay, yeah, well, that's you. I mean, gonna support you. And I'm just lucky that I have a house full of nurses and very strong people that are like, cool, we got you. So you know what that means? You know, you can't eat all this shit anymore. And I'm like, hey, you know what, leave me alone. Because all I really eat is cereal, so cereal and applesauce. But no, I just thought, you know, this is something that she could possibly, you know, need and or use and benefit from. And even if I'm not a match, You know, I would not feel good about myself if I didn't at least try. And that's the message that I wanted to put out to people. Like, even though it's a big deal and it's a big thing, yeah, it's a kidney, but that small thing, that small surgery, that little bit of pain that you're going through to heal, or it means the world. You know, your issue is a pea size compared to the beach ball that is your problem, MC. And like, if we put it in perspective, then we'll be able to see what's really important. Like, you know, being able to wake up knowing that this person possibly can't or won't, or being able to wake up knowing that you did everything you could, even if it's a small thing. So, or a big thing like, you know, having surgery. But still, that was my message, and that's why I wanted to do that. That's why I wanted to bring you on, because I wanted people to hear, like, hear who you are, hear your story and your struggle and your battle, and go from there. Was that Siri
No,
yelling at me?
and
Good.
it's really crazy how
Something went wrong.
you're when you mention like with everything that I'm going through now, it puts a hold on everything that I want to do. That's you couldn't have said it any more better than that, because ever since I found out, like all my life has been consistently back to back is all my days off. Every Monday in the month, I always have doctor's appointments and blood work drawn. And then if I'm not doing that, I'm just working. And then from work, I get tired because I don't have the same energy anymore. So it's like, it feels like as if my life took a step back and it's on pause. And that aggravates me so much because I just have this feeling inside where I'm like, I could be doing so much freaking more. Like, and it makes me so mad because it's like I was just talking to my nurse, I think last month, and she was just like checking on me. And she asked me like what I was doing actually before I found out. And I was like telling her, I was like, oh, I was going to school for forensic psychology. And I was like telling her, I was like, yeah, like it was a really big deal to me because like growing up, like I was like, I didn't, I like my parents are supportive, but you know, I got those Asian parents where they're kind of hard on like what majors you do. And I was like, so in a way that kind of affected me where I was so overly doubtful of myself. Like I couldn't really succeed in anything. So I always would stop. And I was like, until when I found forensic psychology, and then it just felt like it was a piece of cake. I kept getting A's in all my classes. And I was like telling, I was like, I've never felt so good about myself like in forever. I was like, that's probably the first time that I honestly felt like that. And then I started crying because I was like, but I'm so mad because I feel like I had to put that on hold because I know like health is important, obviously, yes. And I was like, but like it was just like, why does this have to happen? And like I'm doing so good. Like it's like it was right there. Like couldn't it have happened after I finished? You know, like why did it have to happen right dead center in the middle? And then my nurse just took me aside. She's like, you know what? Like I know it's hard, but you know, honestly, like things can happen for a reason. She's like, who knows? Maybe once you get over this and you know everything ends up being perfect, you'll be 100%. So then when you go back to school, you could be an even better version of you. And I was just like, okay, well, yeah. If you say it that way, it sounds nice. I was like, that sounds a lot better.
Sounds nice. Sounds good. No, but that I believe that. That is 100% something that I believe in. So, you know, things are just going to get better. It's just going to be hard right now. And that's the only thing, that's the thing that I think about a lot. It's hard right now. But that doesn't mean that tomorrow it's not going to get better, you know? And even if you land into tomorrow and it still feels that way, guess what? It's not going to be that way tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day. It's all about the mindset, the positivity, the fight, the struggle. You know, it's all leading to something better. And you have to believe that. If you don't have that positive mindset, you know, then all can be lost. But you have to hold on to it. And from all the posts that I've seen of you, it's like she got it. And I can tell that some days I know it's hard, trust me, but you got this.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
And for everybody out there that's listening, where can they reach you to get more information if they want to send positive messages or even make the attempt to find out if they're a match?
Well, they can always reach me on my Instagram. That's like the quickest way, or my email. The email would be good if they have more questions for being a potential kidney donor. But for Instagram, my Instagram is just Maria's Demeanor. For Instagram, that's it. You could reach me there. And then my email would just be mc.abril@gmail. That's emcee.abril@gmail.com.
Sweet. And I will make sure to put that also in the, you know, bio description, whatever the hell that thing is called, whatever. But I'm going to put that in there so then people can reach out to you. And yeah, so thank you so much for coming on and talking about it. You know, it's crazy. The first guest that I had on here was my homeboy Antonio. And when, again, I wake up in the morning and I look at my phone and it, the first thing I see is him. And he's like, yeah, so I'm in the hospital right now about to get my kidney. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, and I had him on and we talked about it. And he had pretty much the same thing that you was going through. And it was just wild. But he ended up getting a kidney transplant.
Oh,
so
that's good.
Yeah, so he's doing well. I mean, he's out here doing his thing on OnlyFans and selling ankle shots. I'm just kidding. But no, it's hella random. You have to listen to the episode, but it was just so funny. But no, he's doing well. And, you know, I know it's going to go well for you. I feel it right here. So, I mean, you can see, but it was my chest. No, you're going to be fine. But thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you for having me. It was nice to talk.
Yeah.
Explain everything. So it felt good. Good day.
That's great. So I'm going to get out of here. And yeah, but thank you so much again.
No, right. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for everything that you do and always sending positive messages and trying to see if you're a match. Like, I really appreciate that a lot.
Hey, no worries. I mean, it's the very least I can do. And of course, I'm going to keep updating you and letting you know.
All right.
All right. So I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody. So, yes, I really mean that. Like, I actually went out there and did it. So if I can, you can too. That sounded very weird, but you know what I mean. So that was MC, everybody, Miss Maria, and I will definitely put all of her links in the description below this. And before we get out of here, I am going to play another joint that I feel is very positive and something that speaks to this whole thing about keeping that energy, being that energy, being the light that you so desperately want to give and receive to the world, you know. Gosh, like my nose, I've been like trying not to sneeze this entire time and it is not working for your boy. Anyway, so like I said, before I get out of here, I'm going to play this joint. It's by the amazing, the beautiful, and the extremely talented India Ari. And it is one of my favorite songs that actually helps me get through everything. So, yeah, I'm just going to get into it. This is called There's Hope by India Ari.
Two, one, 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 two too complicated. See, zero didn't satisfy me. A million didn't make me happy. That's when I learned the lesson that it's all about your perceptions. Hey, are you a papa or a superstar? So you act, so you feel, so you are. It ain't about the size of your car. It's about the size of the faith in your heart. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. Off in the back country of Brazil, I met a young brother that made me feel that I could accomplish anything. You see, just like me, he wanted to sing. He had no windows and no doors. He lived a simple life and was extremely poor. On top of all of that, he had no eyesight, but that didn't keep him from seeing the light. He said, us are like in the USA, and all I did was complain. He said, living here is paradise. He taught me paradise is in your mind. You know that there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. Every time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy, there's hope. If you let it, it'll drive you crazy, there's taking back my power today. There's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising. There's hope. The government, they keep on lying. We gotta keep on surviving. Keep living our truth and do the best we can do. Cause there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. Pay to laugh.